From developing bulls to the markets to global meat trade, we've got it all, and you've got it locked to the Ranch It Up radio show. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up radio show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart.
And I'm Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck.
A big thank you goes out to our partners for today's episode, the CK Bar Ranch, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, Sire Buyer, Wolf Cattle, Westway Feed Products, the world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale, and this fine radio station.
After more than 800,000 acres have burned in Nebraska wildfires, livestock producers are now searching for places to graze their animals. The Nebraska Cattlemen's Association says there are two main options, both showing how neighbors are stepping up to help. One option is feeding cattle hay. Donations are arriving by the truckload, but hay can still be expensive. The second option is a free online tool called the Nebraska Grazing Exchange. It connects ranchers who need land with farmers who have pasture available. People who want to help can sign up, list what they can offer, and connect directly with ranchers in need. Once a match is made, the next step is moving the animals to that land. Laura Field, Executive Vice President of Nebraska Cattlemen, says support has been overwhelming. She says tough times like this bring out the best in the agriculture community. Field says some ranchers have lost up to 70 or 80% of their summer grazing land and may need to move cattle to entirely different regions, even out of state. But she says help is coming from all directions across the country. Field also says that she doesn't expect long-term economic damage. She says Nebraska's beef industry is strong and resilient and will weather this challenge. While moving cattle, also known as rotational grazing, isn't new, the situation right now is complicated. Field says burned areas are filled with damaged equipment like fencing, water systems, and other infrastructures. She says groups are working with state and federal partners to match needs with resources and get supplies where they're needed most. As for concerns about ranchers leaving the state, Field says the grass will grow back and the cattle will return. The Nebraska Department of Agriculture adds that grazing can actually help prevent future wildfires by reducing dry plant material. We have the direct link to the Nebraska Grazing Exchange in the show notes for this episode at ranchitupshow.com. A series of market-moving events, including a strike at a JBS beef plant, geopolitical tensions involving Iran, shifting oil prices, and tariff uncertainty, have yet to derail strong beef demand as wholesale prices continued to climb, according to analysis by Drovers and Sterling Marketing Profit Tracker. Market fundamentals have shifted in recent weeks. Lower fed cattle prices combined with higher boxed beef values improved packer margins while pressuring feedlots. For the week ending March 14th, packer margins were estimated at a loss of $54.17 per head, narrowing from deeper losses in prior weeks. The beef cutout rose to $390.66 per hundredweight. Feedlot margins turned negative, estimated at a loss of $48.79 per head. Elevated break-evens continue to pressure feedlots despite strong demand. Hamburger prices on restaurant menus are 14% higher in the last 3 years, but beef production costs jumped 32% since January 2023, according to a new report from food industry intelligence firm Data Essential. Burger inflation is roughly in line with broader restaurant prices, despite the effects of chronically tight beef supplies. Food away from home, which approximates all food service including dine-in, takeout, and delivery, rose 4% in 2025 and is 13% higher since January 2023, according to the federal government's Consumer Price Index. The Data Essential report pointed out that restaurant pricing strategy can keep prices on popular items in check to avoid hurting turnover, while causing cost burdens to be spread throughout the operation. Burgers in particular are a source of traffic, especially in the quick service segment. Efforts to scrutinize consolidation in the U.S. meat industry are gaining new momentum in Washington as lawmakers from both parties increasingly target large packers amid persistently high beef prices. In recent months, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer has floated legislation aimed at restructuring the industry, while President Donald Trump has ordered the Department of Justice to investigate major beef packers for potential antitrust violations. The unusual bipartisan convergence reflects mounting political pressure to address food affordability, even as economists and industry leaders say the fundamental driver of high beef price lies elsewhere. The renewed focus on meatpacker consolidation follows years of debate over the market dominance of the so-called Big Four beef packers, JBS, Tyson Foods, Cargill, and National Beef, which together handle roughly 80% of U.S. cattle slaughter. Trump last fall directed the DOJ to investigate whether large packers engaged in illicit collusion, price fixing, and price manipulation, while several Republican lawmakers voiced support for stronger antitrust enforcement. At the same time, Schumer and other Democrats are preparing legislation that would attempt to curb consolidation across the food system, including potentially forcing meat companies to focus on a single protein. Florida's ban on cultivated meat will stay in place after a federal appeals court upheld the law in a ruling released Monday. The case was brought by Upside Foods, a California company that produces lab-grown chicken, after the law took effect in July of 2024. A three-judge panel on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the ban does not conflict with federal laws regulating traditional poultry. The court said the state law doesn't control how the product is made, only whether it can be sold, meaning federal law does not override it. The decision also upholds an earlier ruling from a federal district court that dismissed the case. Florida Agriculture Commissioner Wilton Simpson, who supported the law, called the ruling a win for farmers and consumers. Governor Ron DeSantis, who signed the bill, has also defended the measure, saying it protects Florida agriculture from what he calls lab-grown alternatives. Florida was the first state to pass a ban on cultivated meat. Since then, several others, including Alabama, Indiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, and Texas, have all followed. The bans come as the lab-grown meat industry is still in its early stages. The Food and Drug Administration first approved cultivated meat for sale in 2022. Supporters of the industry argue these state laws could slow innovation, cost jobs, and limit competition. It's not yet clear if Upside Foods plans to appeal the ruling. That's a wrap of the news. More of the Ranch It Up radio show when we come back.
Wolf Cattle presents the 38th opportunity sale of 2026, Thursday, April 2nd. 300 registered limousine, Limflex, and Angus bulls, fall yearlings and spring yearlings, plus 30 registered females. Online only with live bidding through Superior Livestock and DV Auction. Sale details at wolfcattle.com, DV Auction, Superior Livestock, and Ranch Channel. Wolf Cattle, where beef is our business.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop LivestockMarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
The world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale is back for the 75th anniversary Western Experience of a Lifetime. Join us May 14th through the 17th in Miles City, Montana. From the finest bucking stock to electrifying horse racing, this event has it all. And don't miss out on the Pendleton Whiskey Kickoff Concert featuring Trace Atkins and special guests Cord Lund and Kenny Fiedler. Mark your calendars for the world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive. Get your tickets at buckinghorsesale.com.
Cattle Battle.
Breeding bull development, it's different for every seed stock producer. And for Kelly Erickson with the CK Bar Ranch in Kadoka, South Dakota, it starts with a specific regimen in the fall and leads up to sale time. Bulls must pass rigorous scrutinizing not only genetically, but soundness, locomotion, longevity, fertility, and efficiency. Although Kelly did say during the break that phenotypically this was the most uniform set of bulls that he has ever raised. Kelly, hey, welcome back to the program. Let's talk bull development on your outfit.
Well, generally, we start out with weaning them on their summer pasture, and we use the nose weaners and Farapees on those calves, and then they'll go to a pen for 3 or 4 days. And we just make sure there's nothing in there still bawling, looking for its mother. Then they'll go back to grass and get fed on grass for 30 days, 45 days before we bring them in the feedlot. But they have big pens that they can roam around in and still be bulls, you know, be cattle. They don't have feed sitting in front of them all day long. They're getting plenty of exercise. They're set up for a 3.5 pound gain. And I think we more than exceeded that this year.
And here's kind of a production question, if you will. And you and I have talked a lot about sales and the date of when to have those sales, when to not to have those sales, age of cattle. We've talked about averages, all of that over the years. So I'm just curious about your opinion on this. And in today's day and age, with cattle prices where they are, and with all of this information that is available to us guys out here to make buying decisions of genomics, and I mean, you name it, we can dial this thing in. In your opinion, where do guys need to be for spending dollars? And I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here a little bit, because I've talked with a lot of people and they say, well, you can kind of back that formula in and say, what are four or five steers going to bring in the fall? And, you know, that's kind of where you should be at. But that bull is a major, major, major investment into somebody's program, and they should last a number of years, as we talked before, too. So I'm just curious of where you think guys need to be in terms of spending dollars for bulls.
Well, that's a really hard question to answer.
That is a tough one, I know.
And every operation is different. The guy that's background in those calves, he's probably going to need to spend a little bit more to get that extra growth on those cattle, that yearling weight, or a guy that's going to retain females. You know, you maybe want to spend a little bit more on that bull to ensure yourself maybe a little bit more maternal in that bull for his daughters.
But let's dance with longevity there a little bit too. And I kind of evaded to it when I said this bull is an investment. He needs to last a number of years. You and I have talked off air about that you have said, even in your outfit, in your environment in southwestern South Dakota, you need cattle that you can't be replacing genetics every other year, every couple of years. And I'm talking walking bulls is what I'm talking here. Is you've got to have, that's a major investment. You've got to have walking bulls that go out and they're going to last for a long time. I know that that's something that you have translated into your philosophy of the bulls that you sell too, is, you know, you want to take care of your customers in every way, shape, and form that you can. And part of that is getting them in a bull that's going to last for a long time. Not they got to come back every other year and they got to keep replacing and replacing and replacing. I know longevity too is part of the CK Bar program.
It is, you know, we sent a lot of bulls out to from northeast Montana to through western South Dakota, western North Dakota, all through eastern Montana, northeast Wyoming. You know, probably some of the biggest country, harshest environments that those cattle can live in. And a lot of our bulls are still out there working at 6, 7, 8 year old bulls. So the investment those guys made has really paid off. When you have a bull at 6, 7, 8 years old, still sound as a cat and out there chasing cows around, I think that whatever you spend on him was definitely worth the money. Think of how many calves that he generated in his life. And our cow herd is that way too. Look, we call really hard for soundness, good uddered cows, and fertility. Longevity is part of all those things. I mean, if your cows ain't getting bred or your bull isn't working, I mean, you got to replace them, and they're pretty expensive to do that right now. You know, we focus really heavily on that, on feet. You know, everything starts from their feet up. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. You can't have all that weight if you haven't got a real sound foot and stout boned bull. Looking to the future, I don't know how long this current cycle is going to last. But, you know, you go out there and you're spending $10,000 on that bull, 3 years, is that going to be enough to recoup your investment? Maybe that bull needs to last you, you know, 5 or 6 years out there. Buying that really good bull now will probably really be paying off in 3 years or 4 years when our cattle cycle does start to turn and we see reduced prices. So, or if we do, I hope we don't.
I don't either. Don't jinx us, Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta say this. I'm darn proud of you. And the reason that I'm saying that, Kelly, is we've known each other since we were just wee ones. And you have set a priority, and you set it years and years ago, that you wanted to be in the seed stock business and you wanted to raise cattle of a certain caliber. You have been uncompromising in that. And even though we're a little lower in numbers this year, you're offering right around 30 bulls. Let's talk about how you're planning on expanding that in the future, because I know, like I said, you drew lines in the sand that you will not cross. You just said longevity has to be in these cattle. Fertility has to be in these cattle. Efficiency has to be in these cattle. They got to have sound feet and legs. You said it starts on the ground with the foot and goes up. So how are you going to expand in the future? Because I know that is what your goal is, but you are not willing to sacrifice what you've done up to this point. And that's why I'm extremely proud of what you've done, even though you've had to keep your numbers a little bit lower to do it.
We're really expanding our ET program. We've already flushed several cows this spring, and we're going to be doing some more here in May. That's one way we're going to do it. We've got a really nice set of commercial cows, put those embryos in. We retained about 70% of our heifer calves this year as well. So we're really hoping for rain and maybe some more grass if we can find it somewhere.
Right? All of us are asking
yes.
for that.
The ET program and what we've been doing with that is taking some older, really proven cows and using some young sires on them that just genetically are just like hitting it out of the park from a genotype standpoint. And crossing those cows, they were kind of old school cows that had a lot of growth to them, you know, that were really sound, but raised calves that were just big, stout rascals, and crossing with these bulls that are, you know, a little bit more carcass, a little bit more calving ease, maybe a little bit more maternal in them. That's kind of where our future is going towards right now, is just using some of those older genetics and crossing with these newer genetics to boost the genotype on their calves a little bit.
Well, my last question for you is this, and then I'll let you go because you said this afternoon you need to go out and actually weigh the bulls that are coming up for sale here in a very, very short period of time, coming up April 3rd in St. Ange, South Dakota. Do you have any kind of assistance for me of selling feeder calves? Can you help me with that? I come in and buy a bull. Can you help me? Or I'm going to say, give me another option is what I always say. I like to have options where you can pick from this and this and this and this and find out what works the best. Do you have some things like that where you can help me place those feeder calves sired by your bulls?
I do. I you know, we've got a couple of different options there. Allied Genetics has been really good about helping market some calves if you're interested in their programs. And I've also got a couple of order buyers that are interested in buying them direct if you want to sell them out in the country that way as well. So, I mean, we do have some options there. Right now, it's easy to sell them. You know,
Don't jinx us.
Well, what I like to do, you know, is start building those relationships.
Yeah.
You know, between the commercial guy and either that order buyer or a feed yard. And actually, we got a couple of feed yards that I've been visiting with, too, about hopefully maybe getting them interested in buying some cattle direct. If you're wanting to go that route, or Allied Genetics will help you with that. You know, they rep for Superior as well. Well, I just want to thank everybody for their interest in the bulls this year. Like I say, they're just not, this is by far the best set of bulls that I've ever brought to town. We have free delivery through the Dakotas, Montana, and Wyoming. And after that, we'll sure work with you. If you need bulls further away than that, we can find rides for them.
Kelly Erickson with the CK Bar Ranch. His sale coming up next Friday, April 3rd at St. Ange Livestock in St. Ange, South Dakota. Bid and buy online at DV Auction. And the catalog and videos are available at ranchchannel.com. Time for a break. We have the numbers and more of the Ranch It Up Radio Show when we come back. It's the sale worth waiting for, CK Bar Ranch. Simmental and Simmangus bulls designed to add pounds and profit to your program, where bulls offer the best of both worlds with proven calving ease and growth to maternal strength. Join the CK Bar Ranch crew Friday, April 3rd at St. Ange Livestock in St. Ange, South Dakota. Bid and buy online at DV Auction and videos, catalogs, and sale information available at ranchchannel.com and ckbarranch.com. Join us April 3rd in St. Ange, South Dakota for a powerful set of bulls ready to go to work for you.
I run a 150 cow calf operation.
2 years ago, Nick Small of Fullerton ran into scours in his cow calf operation.
I had a big problem with coccidiosis scours, and I went to my whole herd.
The next year, after getting his herd on a dosage of Pharmatan sweet chestnut tannin, how many cases of scours did you have?
Zero. I'm not kidding. I didn't have any.
Learn more at PharmatanUSA.com or call Joe Knopp at 402-340-3323.
Jorgensen Land and Cattle, the nation's largest seed stock supplier, invites you to the ranch in Ideal, South Dakota for the 54th annual Top Cut Angus Bull Sale powered by the Motherlode, featuring 200 registered Angus bulls backed by proven maternal strength and long-term cowherd value. All sale information at ranchchannel.com and jorgensenfarms.com. For 54 years, the Top Cut Sale has been the standard for practical, performance-driven Angus genetics. Jorgensen Land and Cattle at the ranch Monday, April 20th. Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up radio show. It's that time in the program. We check in with Kirk Donsbach with StoneX Financial Incorporated, recapping the numbers from the previous week. So, Kirk, numbers-wise, what do you got for us today, my friend?
Good morning, Tigger. As of Friday, March 20th, we get a little reminder this morning, as I wrote probably the most bearish newsletter I've written in quite some time, and we wake up to oil down 10 and equities up almost 1,000, that in this particular market, oil's driving the ship with its positive influence on grain and its negative influence on equities and cattle. So everything we say, you can almost kind of throw out the window right now and just watch the oil. But anyway, since we are watching cattle, April feeder futures closed the week at 351.40. That's up 767.5 on the week, as it narrowed the basis to the CME feeder index that was up 375 at 362.06. That left the basis versus March futures at a positive 431. It was about an $8 basis last week. The basis is positive $10.66 versus April futures. We did have a cattle on feed that came out at 99.8% versus 99.3% expected. Placements were 103.7% versus expectations of 100.2%, and the marketed number for February at 93.2% versus 92.6% expected. I consider the report bearish, and oversimplified, we had 100,000 more animals placed than were marketed. You can hear quite a few people trying to dismiss the report, but I think those numbers are significant, and that the cattle on feed was back at 100% of last year, and I consider it bearish. Of course, again, we woke up with oil down 10, and all that's kind of out the window this morning. April live cattle closed the week at 233.95. That's up 310 on the week. Cash traded 235 in all regions, with a few late 236 sales in Kansas. That left the five-area weighted average down 1072 at 234.05, and the basis a positive 10 cents versus April futures. Choice boxes had a very good week, closing at 411 cents. That's up 219 on the week. It is worth noting that we did back off the Wednesday highs at 403.31. Weekly slaughter was a very light 508,000 head. That's 7,000 head below last week and 50,000 head below the same week last year. Dress weights were up 2 pounds at 898, which is 27 pounds over this week last year. Yearly production closed the week up 0.2% at 7.4% less than the same week last year. The combination left yearly production up 0.2% for the week at 7.4% less than this week last year. Fresh beef imports were up 2% at 13% over the same week last year. To wrap this up, December corn closed the week at 491.5. That's up 0.5 cent on the week. Corn is being supported by the moves in oil.
You've poured blood, sweat, and tears into your operation. Don't you want to see it go to the right person once you are done? Hey, hey. I'm Shay Warner, and I host the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. Lydia Carpenter and I had a recent conversation about non-family transition plans. Here's a portion of our conversation.
So, like, we prepared for a long time, and an opportunity arose that we were able to then invest in. And so I would say to folks, like, seek opportunity, and this may sound very cliche, but like, even just, like, thinking outside the box. And reaching out to peers that will communicate with you. And what I mean by that is there are people in the industry that will talk about their structure. They will talk about finances. They want to be open. And so if you're trying to seek out options and you're thinking about this, look for some of those mentors and people in the industry that will help you.
Ready to tune in to the full conversation? Check out the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast on your favorite podcast player as soon as you're done listening to the Ranch It Up radio show.
The Ranch Channel sales calendar. Thursday, April 2nd, Wolf Cattle, Limousine, Limflex, and Angus, Spring and Fall Yearling Bulls, along with 30 registered open heifers, online sale with live bidding through DV Auction and Superior Livestock. Friday, April 3rd, CK Bar Ranch, 30 Simmental and Sim Angus Bulls, St. Ange Livestock in St. Ange, South Dakota. Saturday, April 4th, 6 Mile Ranch, Angus, Red Angus, and Simmental Yearling and Aged Bulls, along with 7 elite Red Angus heifers and a select group of commercial Red Angus and Angus heifers at the 6 Mile Ranch, Fur Mountain, Saskatchewan, Canada. Vollmer Angus Ranch, Tuesday, April 7th, yearling and coming two-year-old bulls, along with the National Western Reserve Champion pen of 3 Angus bulls, yearling and commercial open heifers at the ranch, Wing, North Dakota. Prairie View Farms, Friday evening on April 10th at the farm in Gridley, Illinois, Angus show heifers, bred heifers, and herd bull prospects and embryos. Tuesday, April 14th, Thomas Ranch is hosting their 54th annual bull sale at the ranch in Harold, South Dakota, Angus, Charlet, Red Angus, and Sim Genetics bulls. Other sales coming up from some of the nation's most recognized seed stock providers, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, Gill Red Angus, Wilson Angus, and the Mississippi Select Brahmin and F1 sale. All catalogs, videos, and online bidding platforms and sale information is available at ranchchannel.com.
And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Kelly Erickson with the CK Bar Ranch, Kirk Donsbach, Stonex Financial Incorporated, Shay Wanner with Casual Cattle Conversations, and the boss lady, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck.
A big thank you to our partners for today's episode, CK Bar Ranch, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, Sire Buyer, Wolf Cattle, Westway Feed Products, World Famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale, and this fine radio station.
And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. The email is ranchitupshow@gmail.com. The phone number that you can call or text 24/7 is 707-RANCH20. That's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us again next week where it's always Tigger and Beck approved.
Stay ranchy and ranch it up.